Let's pray. God, want so very much that you would speak to all of our hearts today through your word, Holy Spirit indeed, that though church structure would suggest that one should stand and speak to the rest, I pray instead that I would only be conduit. I would only be the sound, but the thought, the truth, the every expression would be yours, Holy Spirit, that it would be you, that I would, I've often prayed that I would diminish and you increase. I pray instead that I would dissolve and you would stand here and just speak to us, though unseen, but amazingly visible, just as our sister suggests, and rightly so, that we can walk toward you, and rather we can run to you. God, I pray it would feel like that as we go forward this morning in your word, knowing that you speak through your word, for indeed you are the living word. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. You are the word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you ask any Jewish person, any Israeli as they are referred to today, Israeli, where the holiest place is on earth, the holiest place on earth, they would say, well, there's mixed feelings on that. The holiest place they go is the Wailing Wall, is that temple wall, the Western Wall. That to them is the holiest place where they can stand in this world. That is the place. And then if you ask Christianity where that holiest place is, they will say it would be the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, if you will. They will say that place, which encapsulates, that the place that signifies or stands for Golgotha. Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where Jesus hung on a cross, the place where he died for you and me. And beside that, and in the same place, and very, very, very nearby, is the tomb where they laid our Lord, and his body was there for the better part of 3 days. That is the holiest place that we can go. In the physical, the holiest place we can go in the spiritual is to the very presence of our Lord God in prayer. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That in the spiritual, we can come into his presence. Not as it was in the Old Testament, where only one would go, and at only very specific times, and the high priest would enter in with great trepidation into the place of holy God, into the place of the lion, if you will. The lion. I love in the book by C.S. Lewis, I believe, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, referring to Aslan, the lion. And the little girl says, Well, he's good and he's safe, yes. I can go to him. He is good and safe. And the beaver, who apparently is the most courageous of all animals, said, well, he's always good, but he's not always safe. That's something to behold. He's not always safe. The plan of salvation, ladies and gentlemen, did not begin at the cross. We can agree on that. Nor does it end there. It didn't begin at the Garden of Gethsemane or at the Last Supper. The salvation story didn't even begin at the birth of our Lord. The plan of salvation began before the foundation of the world and is evident throughout biblical history. We read in Genesis chapter 22. Isaiah speaking to Abraham, his father, as he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering." You see, Jesus is the provided lamb. And I marvel, not that God, well, yes, that God gave his son, but what a thing that the lion would refer to himself and want him to be seen as a lamb. For he's always good, but he's not always safe. The idea that Jesus is a lamb, this is figurative language to help us to appreciate what he does for us and how he went about it. He is always the lion, ladies and gentlemen. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one who spoke everything into being by his word. And he is the one who holds everything together. That is Jesus. And yet he says, "Look upon me as a lamb, as a provided lamb." And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb." You see, a sacrificial lamb was provided for the salvation of one child in this story. Abraham's son, Isaac, in this case, was to be sacrificed, was to die. And God provided an alternative. This is a magnificent foreshadowing of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus is indeed the provided lamb. We see that in Scripture, going all the way back to Abraham. Jesus is also the Passover lamb. In fact, this is where it begins, this picture, if you will, of the lamb that is sacrificed. The Hebrew nation, Jacob's family, that had come into Egypt as welcome guests, soon after were enslaved captives, suffering under Pharaoh's cruelty. God sent plagues upon Egypt to loose its hold on God's chosen people. The final plague, death of the firstborn, the tenth plague, befell Egypt, was the event that instituted the Passover lamb. Again, we're reading in Exodus 12:3-13, if you will. You'll find this story and you will understand clearly what has gone on here. Again, the lamb serves as a sacrifice, though not for one person, but for each family. This is more foreshadowing of the coming Messiah and God's salvation plan. It is another powerful Old Testament type of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You remember the story? I hope you do. If you don't, you need to go back and read it again in Exodus 12. They were told to mark their doorposts with the blood of this lamb, striking across the top and the side of the door, strikingly similar to the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, H, pronounced He. The root meaning of He is to look or behold. According to the Jewish mystics, He represents divine breath, life, and light. It represents God's creative power. It represents the word being spoken and all coming into being. It is by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:6. Jesus is the prophesied lamb. 34 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled at the death of Christ. 34 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled at the death of our Christ, our Savior, our Jesus. 10 of them are found in Isaiah 53. We read, and you should be very familiar. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. So often as I walked around these historical places in Israel, those scriptures came to my heart, to my remembrance. I just wanted to sing one in particular. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. And if I was more brave, I'd sing it. And I feel like a beaver this morning, so I'm going to be brave enough. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Is that the song in your heart? Listen, if you don't know those words, you want to. If you don't know that truth, you need to. Jesus is the prophesied lamb. The words in this book foretold of his coming, of his birth, of his life, and most importantly, of his death and resurrection. How important it is to know for yourself these truths and to have them dwelling in your heart and welling up in your spirit as you ponder what the Lord Jesus has done for you and me. So important, so good, so good. Jesus is the prophesied lamb. And Jesus is the proclaimed lamb. There's a difference here. Proclaimed lamb. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, of all things to say, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Of all things to say, he said that. He proclaimed, "This is the Lamb of God." Jesus is also the lion. He is the word. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the exact representation of God. Anyone who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. He is our propitiation. He is our salvation. He is everything to me. And he is a brother and a friend, and my greatest joy. And I have no problem praying, Lord, that I would dissolve and you would increase. That I would be as nothing, for you are my everything. That is just fine with me. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of your life. The sacrificial lamb was well known to the Jew. Everyone who heard John say these words knew exactly what he was saying. For they had been practicing and remembering the story of Egypt and their exodus for a great long time. So when they said the Lamb of God, they knew exactly what John was speaking about, what he was referring to. This is the Christ. This is Messiah. This is the one whom we have been waiting for. It is Jesus, and he is here, and he is the Lamb of God. It is by his blood that we are cleansed. Surely, we read in Isaiah 53. And this isn't just for Shirley, it's for all of us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you have a problem being described as a sheep? Jesus chose to describe himself as a lamb. I gladly receive that description as a sheep. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Or turned around the other way, but he himself is the propitiation, that's the payment, that is the restitution, that is paid in full, tear up that debt, gone. For the sins of the whole world, but not only for the whole world, but for ours specifically. I like that so much. First, in Abraham's day, God provided a sacrificial lamb for the salvation of one child, Abraham's son Isaac. Then in Moses' day, God provided the Passover lamb for the salvation of each family. And now at Mount Calvary, God has provided the perfect lamb of God to take away the sins of the whole world once and for all. You see, Jesus is the perfect lamb. Jewish law demanded a lamb without blemish be sacrificed as a sin offering. In Exodus 12:5, we read, "Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, and regarding any offering to the Lord, it must be a male without defect. Whatever has a defect you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. It must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defects in it." That was for the sacrifice for each and every time. And again, year after year, sacrifice after sacrifice, unblemished lamb. But in 1 Peter we read, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, you inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." What a story. We can find so many references, so many moving parts to this story. This Lamb of God is throughout Scripture. This isn't a theme that someone picked up at some point and said, let's go with this. This has been prophesied. This has been proclaimed. This has been planned even from the very beginning. Numerous writers over thousands of years wrote this story, but really there's only one author. Amen? Our Lord God wrote all of this for you and me. A lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, once for all. And Jesus is the placid lamb. This is, again, most astounding to me, that the one who created everything, God, and God is fierce. God is mighty. God is way bigger than you think he is. We can't even begin to comprehend God. I like what Heather wrote not so long ago in a, I think it was a Facebook rant. Is that okay? Yeah. Said, "Wow. It's like I never even knew Jesus. He's way more than I thought he is. He's way more. So much more amazing. And he is. He's way more. He's amazing." Jesus is the placid lamb. Placid. In Isaiah 53 again, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, was led As a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And you know, if he had opened his mouth, he could have said, enough! And everyone would have been laid low. He could have flattened every mountain. Imagine, if you will, the epicenter of an earthquake or a nuclear blast. That's what his word is like. He could have just said enough, and it would have gone out like a wave, so powerful, so overwhelming, so absolutely irresistible that everything would have been laid waste. Please don't think of him as only a lamb. Oh, he is mighty God. He is the Lion of Judah. Oh, he is so much more. And that's why it's most astounding to me when a little man like Pilate, Pontius Pilate, would stare him down, if you will. We read in Matthew 27, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, and I can assure you, he said it to him with such contempt and despising. Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he did not answer him with regard even to a single charge. And at some point in this story, they wrote, King of the Jews. And they wrote it in three languages so as not to be mistaken. And it was not prophetic. It was not in some way proclaiming that he was so. It was as a great joke, as a great laugh to them all. Oh, look, this is what you call your king, you Jews? This is who you proclaim King of Kings? It is laughable. But they were wrong. And they were right. They were so wrong that it was laughable. They were so wrong that this was to be a joke. But they were so right that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If only they'd known. Well, they do now. They do now. Yes, indeed. Jesus came into this world some 2,000 years ago and chose to describe himself as a lamb, as a provided lamb, as a Passover lamb, as a prophesied lamb, as a proclaimed lamb, a perfect lamb, and a placid lamb. There's one more thing about this lamb. Our names are written in his book. We who have come to make him Lord and Savior of our lives, our names are written in this book we refer to as the Lamb's Book of Life. What a thing! What a thought! What a joy! And not only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall enter into the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. We read in Revelation 21, beginning, I believe, at 27. Actually, no, we read in Revelation chapter 5, pardon me, at verse 5. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, behold the lion! You see, the lion opens the lamb's book. Is that a wonder to you? Is that joy to you? It's a joy to me. I hope you're getting this. It is the lion. And he alone is worthy to open the Lamb's Book of Life. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah. Right there, it's pointing back to the prophetic and then to the historical. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne and the elders a lamb standing as if slain. Make no mistake, this is that same Jesus. He is both lion and lamb. He is both good and not always safe. Oh, Lord. He is safe to us who know him as Lord. But to those who have rejected him or denied him or ignored him or just forgotten him, he's a lion. If you do not know our Lord as Savior, if you have not received him is that perfect lamb. Brothers and sisters, praying with me for those who are hearing this today and have not yet received the Lord. Pray with me for them and for this word to reach, that in my inadequacy, in my stumbling, that this truth is going to penetrate. If you were here today and you have listened to all these truths and you're still not convinced, ask the Holy Spirit to bring light into that darkness. If you are still not believing, ask the Holy Spirit to bring faith into that doubt. For that too is darkness. If you are still unable to receive because of something, well, I pray this morning that you would deny that thing, whatever it is that would prevent you from receiving Christ as Lord. Will you just surrender that thing, that worldly doing, that belief, that whatever it be, that habit, whatever it is, would you surrender it today and ask Jesus into your heart? I did so many years ago, and I thank God that when I received Jesus, I received the Lamb of God. And now I walk daily with the lion. Do you want to walk with the lion? Do you want to know the Lamb? Do you want salvation? I pray you do. For I tell you this truth. Jesus is coming again, but not as the Lamb, and he will not be safe. For he shall return as the Lion of Judah. And we read, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him, which no one knows except he himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Will you receive him as both Lord and Savior of your life today? You see, God wants your name, my name, and every name to be written in the Lamb's book of life. But for now, we will concentrate on yours. If you will receive Jesus as Lord, if you will receive this perfect Lamb who takes away the sins of your world, if you will, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, pray please, repeating me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and in need of a Savior. I pray the Passover lamb would apply His blood to my heart, that You would indeed mark the posts of my heart with Your blood, Lord, and come into my life. Forgive me my sins and be Lord of my life. I will walk daily with the Lion of Judah. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are always good.
You are always good.
You are Lord.
You are Lord.
Of my life.
Of my life.
And we all said, Amen. Amen. Please know this. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Whether you accept Him or not, He is Lord and Savior. And if you prayed that prayer sincerely today for the first time, and many of us, of course, we just repeat what we know to be true, and we have already received Lord Jesus as our salvation. If you have prayed that prayer today for the first time, heaven is celebrating, and we agree together. So why don't we celebrate right now by praising the Lord? Thank You, Jesus. And you know what's so cool? Now you walk daily with the Lion, and He is always good. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let us pray. Let's sing together. Sing together. What is it we're singing?
86.
86. Standing together.